Well, hello there.
And the ghost of Steve Jobs says, not today, motherfucker.
We made it like 23 minutes and almost 24 minutes. And just right as I started talking, the thing was like, no, you don't get to say your next part.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
your point. You're going to embarrass every black person fucking talking.
Right. Anyway, so black gentleman pulled over. Don't know why he got pulled over.
I don't know, but I can safely assume it was for something minor. Or as I've been in a car with police officers that I question whether or not they are good or bad, but what basically I was told is that you see this car is a shitty car. We can tell there's minorities in the car. We are just going to go with suspicious activity and we're going to pull them over right now.
Okay.
So we can, there's a safe assumption that in that scenario, considering that what ended up happening, this dude's a bad cop. He assumed, it could have safely assumed that he, on suspicious activity, decided to pull it over.
Okay.
I'm probably dead wrong about this point. And if looking up the scenario that he was pulled over because of something else, then fine. I will take no fault on that. So in that scenario, the cop walks up to the car with his hand on his gun already and asks the gentleman, you know, can I see your thing? And he informs him, I have a concealed weapon on me, and goes through essentially the same speech you have done. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I was going to say, did I lose you? Oh, God. And what ends up happening for it is the moment he moves his hand off the steering wheel, he gets shot.
Okay. Two things that I will roll battle with that. I'm not sure exactly on which instance you're talking about. I've seen white people get the exact same treatment. Both white and black. There's two problems with that. Number one, what you say is critical. If you say, I've got a gun, that's the dumbest shit in the fucking world to say to a cop. So if you're trying to be, your verbiage fucking counts for that shit. Just like if he was arresting you for something, what you say can and will be fucking held used against you. So if you say, I've got a gun, I've got a pistol, I've got my nine, whatever the fuck you say, if it's something other than I have a concealed carry weapon on my person, you have already entered rocky roads. And it's going to be entirely at that officer's discretion as to whether or not you may or may not be a threat. If he already thinks you're suspicious, or he's been, and you don't know what that cop's been through in that same area. He might have been involved in some crazy shit 2 days ago. You never know. I'm not saying the cops are always fucking right, far from it. But the second thing is also the most critical with that is when the individual goes to reach for their wallet, their papers, their identification. I will say that I've seen it again in black. I've seen it in white. I've seen it in Hispanic. I've seen it in all races. If anyone makes a fast movement, a fast sweeping movement, especially after a cop already knows there's a weapon in the car, it's game on. I have personally been drawn on for moving fast in that same situation. When I first started doing concealed carry, I have been drawn on for doing just, oh yeah, sure. And I reach real quick. You know, I've been drawn. I've just told the cop I've got a fucking gun on my hip and I just reached my wallet fast. I've been personally drawn on for that. That's why I'm so methodical in my approach to it now. And they don't cover that shit with you when you're getting your concealed carry permit. They don't walk you through that and how it could possibly look to an individual who has got literally milliseconds to fucking identify whether something is or isn't a threat.
No, I agree. I agree with you completely. I do know that in the scenario that in the instance that I brought up earlier, the gentleman went through as methodical as one could.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a fast movement. There was nothing. He just took his hand off the steering wheel and then it was over.
Then you're right. That's absolutely a power hungry, dirty, racist piece of shit cop. He should be buried underneath the prison after he gets gang raped by every fucking black dude that's above it. Absolutely. He should be fucking sent off to life.
I don't remember. I don't think he was charged in that case, actually. Which brings up a whole nother fucking thing, but that has nothing to do with race on that one. But yeah, in that scenario, it was like there and that you have a small there's instance of white privilege.
How's that?
Well, you have been, as you've been going through very methodically, whatnot, this is what's going on. And a black gentleman in this almost the same scenario ends up losing his life for it.
All right, but you're forgetting the part where I've seen it. I've seen white people get fucking shot for that same thing. There was that fucking whack job that was up there in Oregon that fucking took over the fucking bird watching fucking thing and whatever else. And he was supposed to, I don't remember the entire names and shit like that, but for all intents and purposes, that fucking dude was assassinated. And he was white with his family in the fucking car, got assassinated. Because the cops didn't want him to fucking get to the final destination to make peace with whoever the I don't remember what the fuck.
Oh, I don't know anything about this one. I gotta look that up.
Yeah, it was a big fucking to do over an aviary or some building that the government once owned that this dude got up on a fucking militia high horse about, and him and like 10 of his fucking, you know, broke back Dick Mountain boys went up there and took and just occupied by force. With their guns, and they wouldn't leave.
Wait, wasn't this up in like Oregon or Washington or some shit? And they took over. I kind of remember this, and I think they were pleading for people to send them supplies, and yeah, people were sending them dildos.
Yeah, gummy dicks.
Yeah,
gummy dicks.
I don't remember the how that ended because I just thought everyone forgot about it.
So that ended by that gentleman, the leader, if you will, being summoned to a government office. I think it was in Portland. I don't know. Anyway, he got summoned to a government office to meet with like the fucking governor or the mayor or some shit like that. And the police were supposed to be notified. Look, this dude's coming. Fucking he's coming to talk to me. Let shit just ride. And as soon as that fucking dude left the compound, 10 minutes later, there was a squadron of fucking police cars on his tail. He got pulled over. He's like, no, I'm going to go talk to the governor right now. And the cop just fucking like, no, you're not. You're going to get out of the car. And he's like, no, I'm fucking going to talk to the governor. We've got other shit going on. You guys should have been notified about this. And he fucking went to go leave. He did. They fucking blockaded off the fucking, like they knew he was coming. They had a SWAT team worth of cops on Rural Mountain Road. And he blocked this dude off, yanked him out of the fucking vehicle. And like five officers just fucking mag dumped on his ass.
Wow.
And again, in my other story, I told you earlier when I first fucking got my concealed carry, I have personally been drawn on because I didn't go through the fucking motions correctly. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it right white privilege. I would say it's fucking situational at best. I can easily see how that could be a fucking power hungry fucking white cop. I've had officers strip me of my weapon, which is illegal, because they felt safer to do so. I was worried the fucking dude was going to shoot me in the goddamn hip, but you know, with my own gun. But I've had them strip me of my weapon. I've had them fucking handcuff me before, until the end of the, you know, traffic stop. I mean, I've had them do all kinds of shit. But predominantly, usually what happens is, you know, they make light of the situation or they just appreciate my honesty and the way I go. But I have had rogue individuals where guys are just fucking, you know, looking for a story.
All right, then.
Are you baffled?
Oh,
you
no, we're... No, no, I'm like, oh, God, did it cancel out on me? Oh, shit, no, No, I was just thinking, it's not that we're, I mean, obviously we're not talking shit about law enforcement because obviously there's the vast majority of law enforcement are good, upstanding people. And
I have a great deal of respect for them, just like I have a great deal of respect for any peace-loving, fucking law-abiding individual. But if you are a dirty fucking cop or you're a racist piece of shit or a power-hungry asshole with a badge, no, fuck you.
Right?
Fucking department should protect your ass. I think you should, like I said, be buried underneath fucking prison after anyone who wants to rape you, shoot you, or maim you, or harm you gets done with you.
I agree. I think if I remember correctly, the officer that was in the incident that I brought up earlier, he was Hispanic.
You know, but... I've seen fucking black on black crime. I've seen Hispanic on Hispanic crime. There's been crime on every fucking denomination. To quote Bill Burr's thing, I mean, it's honestly not all white people that think evil shit about other races.
Well, no, that obviously not. No. But so here's, isn't this not necessarily a white privilege thing, but it is just something that comes up. When it talks, when we talk about violence against each other, in a sense, when mm-hmm. when gang members shoot each other, or when two black people shoot each other, whatever, it's a black on black crime.
Right.
So, but when white people do it, it's something else. It's there's not even, it's not a white on white crime. It's just something. It's something completely different. When let's say some of the mass shootings that have gone on. If let's just say a black person did that to a community of other black people, it would be black on black crime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It would just be black on black crime. But when white people do it to other white people, oh, he's got mental health issues and he's this and he's that. And we've barely gotten to the point where we can actually call it terrorism.
Okay. You are fucking just scooping at shit right now. I will say that as far as the black on black crime is concerned, I would say the vast majority of that started off with black leaders, the Malcolm X's of their days during the 80s and 90s that was trying to identify the fucking problems that was going on in the goddamn streets. People hooked on fucking crack, drugs.
Malcolm X was assassinated in the 60s.
Whatever. Whatever. Yeah, I said of the era. I said the Malcolm X's of that era. I don't remember Jesse Jackson. Yeah, that dude. He was one of them.
Hey, he's a black guy, right? Yeah, Frederick Douglass and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And
I'm sounding
the other one.
anyway, the black that day were trying to draw attention to the fact of all this crime that was going on in the black community. Which kind of did two things. One, it was trying to draw awareness, if you will, amongst black citizens that, dude, you got better shit to worry about than fucking killing each other. The white man's been trying to do that to us for years. Knock this shit off. Pet your crap. Get off the crack. Drop your fucking red and blue colors and let's put the fuck on with our lives and make shit better instead of worse. And it also fueled the fear, if you will, that this shit was going on. And it was almost being, not glorified, but it was definitely being portrayed in a very not isolated circumstance or situation. As far as no one ever says white-on-white crime or anything like that, I would say the majority of that is because most people don't want to associate white with any type of specialty in that regard. Like, we don't have White History Month. We don't have a only
because white that's every fucking month.
Oh, fuck you. We don't have, fucking whites only scholarships, you know, shit like that. If they did, the fuck, people would lose their motherfucking minds.
Yeah. Well, there isn't really black only scholarships anymore.
There fucking is. You know, there is. Fuck you.
No.
Not only.
Dude, I was going for these fucking things to school fucking 10 years ago.
You're not black enough.
I looked through the entire fucking manual, which is gi-fucking-normous, and but there isn't one for black people anymore. It's not in there. You have to be, like, the descendant of some fucking naval captain or native.
All right.
Or going for some stupid fucking niche doctorate or fucking medical field thing where you work on the big left toes of gorillas and you can get a scholarship. But other than that, it's super fucking difficult, man. And which is funny you bring that kind of stuff up, because recently they were just...
2019 African-American Grants and Scholarship Opportunities, United Negro College Fund.
The United Negro College Fund. Okay.
African-American Scholarships, best way to cut college costs. UNCF STEM Scholarship Programs. That's only apparently for feminist black people, which I feel is compartmentalized.
Well, so you've got two. You've got one from the NAACP, and then one for STEM for female. What was it? You said for women.
Uh huh.
Okay.
There's also the Gates Millennium Scholarship Program, awarded scholarships to talented minority students with financial needs. There's the Sally Mae African American Scholarship.
Cool. I mean, I didn't have any, when I looked through the book, I didn't see any of this shit.
You need to learn how to fucking use white Google then, because African-American scholarship is all over the fucking place.
Was not the case when I was looking through the manuals there, but cool. I'm all for that. Nice. You know?
And I didn't see one white people only scholarship, just to point that out.
Do you want to go look it up?
Fuck, I'll do it right now.
All right, I want to see this. It's not that anything's actually going to say for white people, but
should I say Caucasian?
Whatever floats your boat. I would say, do both. Let's be thorough.
Ironically, I got through CAUC, and Caucasian scholarship was the second one to pop up.
Ooh, hello.
Let's see. This is scholarship programs and scholarships. Can you get a scholarship for being white? No, not any scholarships offered to Caucasians or white males. But Voorhees' list of scholarships makes not one mention of race or gender, allegedly.
All right.
I don't know how they can say that. Then there's African American, because I'm not from Africa, unless they meant whites from Africa. Maybe then that doesn't matter.
Now, African American is generally meant for, you know, those born here.
Mm.
Generally, though, I say African American, but to me, an actual African Americans are those from the motherland that end up, you know, I guess converting or whatever, okay, becoming citizens here. That's an African American to me.
Okay, this says, are race-based scholarships legal? The law says no person shall be on the grounds of race, color, or national origin be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal assistance. But that doesn't talk about private sector, private party, and at the end of the day, that's still a group of people on that board deciding shit.
There you go.
I can apply for the African American Scholarship Program, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, the chance of you getting it is probably pretty low. I mean,
and that's about it.
You never know. Like, his name is what? Yeah, nah. It's just like being black on a fucking job application. Nope. We're going to put that to the side. I told you that shit for all the years that I was applying where I work at, or not necessarily where I work at now, but for the general area. For years, I would put black every single application. The moment I stopped fucking doing that, applications came. I got shit flooding in. I was like, what the fuck?
There's more to it than that. Maybe you were writing with too much Ebonics.
Yeah, that's it. They could tell.
Yep.
They could just go, nope.
Your penmanship spoke with too much slang. They were uncomfortable with it.
It was crazy. It was just nuts. The change that happened over a month period of me deciding, all right, these next few applications, I'm just not going to fill out. I'm not going to put black in.
Now, see, the other thing that has always bugged the shit out of me as a white person, what in the fuck is that noise?
Oh, that's my water bottle. Sorry.
Oh, it sounded like something was maniacally laughing.
That's my Mark Campbell impression.
Okay. Anyway, so something that's always bugged the shit out of me is that I believe wholeheartedly, I don't give a fuck what color the individual is, I believe the most qualified person should get the job. That does not always fucking happen because corporations are encouraged to hire minorities and they actually have to have a certain quota in order to be non-discriminatory at a federal level or some shit like that. Like they get a fucking tax break for hiring a black dude.
That is the case. There are tax write-offs for hiring, having a more diverse workspace. But there's also studies showing that if you have a more diverse workspace, whether that be race or gender or what have you, the company performs better. So there's actual evidence that shows that if you have different people from different backgrounds, you have a stronger company because you have competing ideas and competing.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. But I believe if the better person should still get the job at the end of the day.
I think that is the case most of the time. Even with those those standards in set or the tax breaks being offered, I still think that is the case. I still think the best person almost always gets the job. I know there's always the stories about if you've got two people with that, the exactly same everything, statistic, what have you, same experiences, are they going to go over with the black person or going to go over the white person? I would have to say that in my experience of applying for jobs, usually they're just going to put the black person's fucking application to the side anyway because he's black.
Now, is that actual fact and statistic, or is that just you being a better black man?
Well, a little bit of column A, a little column B, maybe? I don't know. No. I mean, I'm not going to deny any sort of bitterness for some shit like that. I mean, I don't want to say bitter from my experiences of trying to apply for work and everything.
No, but I honestly can believe that wouldn't be your first thought. It's like, they fucking hired that white dude over me. Fuck that, you know.
Well, because I'm still putting in applications and doing things, I don't know who else is applying. I have no idea. The only time you have any idea is when you get to the point where you can see other people in the room. But I'm telling you from the experience, you don't even get that far.
So when, in my experience with this, it's usually been within internal applications. And you wind up seeing the end result, or you're at the announcement party, if you will,
for
the individual who got it. And I'm like, okay. I've worked with this prick. What the fuck?
My own personal experiences when it comes to that is office politics is a motherfucker, man. Like, yeah. I'm going through that currently now and where I'm at because of just nonsense. So,
yeah, politics that I've had has been, I've been passed over for obviously plenty of white people, but also Hispanic and black, and all of the people I can say, but maybe four of the white guys, one of the Hispanic guys, one of the black guys, there's no fucking way that they had anything more to bring to the table. Like even their work ethic, I didn't understand it.
And I, as not necessarily just in the defense for all black people and what would be the demise of affirmative action or what have you, but I would say in those situations, politics may have done it. It may have been that they had to fill a quota. It could have been that. I'm not going to say that's necessarily the case anymore, which I think this is funny. In the news a little while ago, there's people actually trying to sue against affirmative action because there's like a weird double, like the irony is just ridiculous on which white people are trying to sue for affirmative action because Asians are using it. Yeah. And then like Asians are suing for affirmative action because white people, it's just like, who the fuck?
Yeah.
But I think it's for college applications though.
Yeah. There's the college application one, and there's usually one, there's one or two that get kicked around for jobs, but they never fucking go anywhere. But yeah, I believe the big one on the table right now is for
the college application one, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. I don't believe that, again, if the individual is coming from another country that can offer something, better than, or they have a better, fucking credentials or whatnot from schools, I think it's awesome that they can come over here and be a part of like some fucking, you know, student foreign exchange program or some shit. It's fucking awesome. Get an education over here. Awesome. But I don't think that it's good for the betterment of this country that we fill up slots for positions of education with people that are going to go back to their other countries.
Well, when I think that's a little bit of a different conversation. Because that is developing internationally. Because, yes, we do educate a lot of people from other countries for them just to go back home. And which we want to keep them here. And I think the problem with that is that they realize that they can do better back home than they can here. We're just not doing a good enough job keeping them here because we're educating them and they're getting in through scholarships or what have you.
No, like the government is actually fucking handing out free rides. Like just, hey, come on down. Like
we want to keep them here so then they can try to better us.
Yeah.
And then they just decide to go home. And that's their decision. And I think we just need to do a better... Wow, I got windy. We just need to do a better job of making sure they stay.
internment camps, that would work.
Yeah, okay, sure. Internment fucking camps. This motherfucker. Yeah, if we're going to talk about internment camps, then we're talking about... I don't need to get in that conversation. We've got a bunch of kids sitting in camps in the border, and this motherfucker wants to call it daycare. Anyways.
Well, you know, that shit on the fucking border is another thing. I mean, I've given that an awful lot of fucking thought, because I actually have a friend of mine, a close friend from high school, and he met his wife in the Philippines.
We're not talking about Fox, are we? Because fuck that guy. Anyways.
No. Love you, Fox.
No, we don't.
This is another buddy of mine, and he was actually explaining the immigration process to me from a firsthand experience. And apparently, for him to get his wife legalized here in the States, it cost upwards of like $35,000 to get it done, to make her a legal and American citizen, which I think is fucking batshit. Like, these people are usually coming here for a better life. They're not leaving a better life to come here because they want to go shopping at the fucking, you know, New York Strip. I mean... Mm-hmm. So I think that part is kind of fucking batshit. However, if you attempt to come over here illegally with children in tow, I think you are an irresponsible motherfucker. I think if you want to try and come over here illegally, I think that's like, do what they have been doing. Send the fucking husband over. Try and send Consuela over. Fucking, you know, strap Chico to the fucking door. Let him get rolled up in a roll of carpet. Try and beat immigration. But if you have never been to the deserts of fucking Arizona and northern Mexico, that is probably the last place on the face of the fucking earth, aside from being sitting out on a dinghy in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, where you'd want to have children. Like, it is so fucking brutal, it's not even funny.
My rebuttal, my counter is, the settlers did the same exact thing. You calling them terrible parents?
The difference is that they had different means then, or we have different means now than what they do then.
We, I guess, as a civilization as a whole, sure, but economically, maybe not. For those, they're probably economically the same.
Economically, yes, I suppose you're correct, but on the whole, no. If so,
is it good on the whole? Is it like preparation?
Again? Yes, that's very good on the whole. Again, if it was my family, I was Hispanic for whatever fucking reason. I was an immigrant for whatever reason. I wanted to, like, fuck, let's go to America. I don't know why I'm fucking Iranian now, but anyway, if I was gonna try and cross this country illegally, or I wanted to get out of wherever the fuck I was, I don't think that I would take my fucking family in tow, because I would realize the risks. I think it would be better to send one individual over to do what a lot of the fucking illegal immigrants have done in the past. That's try and make a shit ton of money and send it back home and just be the wayward working parent to make life easier for the family back home. If you couldn't come up with the fucking bankroll, apparently, it takes to get into this country legally. I will say that I have drastically reformed on that particular stance that I had. Because before, I was always like, fuck it, you're going to come here, do it the right way, do it legally. But do it the right way, do it legally for people in the 1920s, 30s, 40s was get on a boat, show up at fucking Staten Island, put your name on the book, they couldn't pronounce it, they made one up for you. And that was it. There was no fucking $200,000 fucking sign-on bonus, you know?
Right.
So I will say that that's a little bit fucking batshit, the financial burden of becoming a U.S. citizen. But at the same point in time, I can't say that it's that different for anybody else. Me and my wife have actually looked at, you know, the prospects of moving to Denmark or Sweden or Danish, going to Deutschland. Shit like that, just to go and see a different part of the world and be a citizen there. And it is even more fucking expensive to do that.
You're picking countries that also have extremely wonderful, like, health programs and cradle to grave kind of shit.
Yeah.
So that's why. Yeah. They're very particular about their citizens because their systems, their socialist systems, are just so fucking amazing for them that they are very careful about who they let in.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, to be a citizen and to qualify for all that lovely whatnot, it's going to take a lot.
Yep.
We don't necessarily have that here. My counter is that, unfortunately, the system is once again kind of skewed. Because there are, I think the line to get become a citizen right now is fucking ridiculous. To sit into the line, put your name on the list to become a legal citizen is like 10 years long or some shit.
No, it actually has nothing to do with a waiting period or a waiting list. Again, my buddy kind of informed me of that. So basically it's you get put into groups of stages. So have you passed this part of the entry? Yes. Do you have the financial means to go on to the next part? Yes. Okay, then you go to the next bracket. If not, you stay in the same fucking bracket you're in with your work visa or whatever the fuck. Do you have the next piece of paperwork to move on to this section? Yes. If not, you stay there. I mean, like you're constantly, it's almost like playing a fucking board game, like Chutes and Ladders. Exactly is what it's like, Chutes and fucking Ladders. And if you've got the money, you can expedite that shit in about, I think, 2 years' time. If you don't have the fucking money, you're kind of in a fucking holding point.
That's just kind of fucked up.
Yeah, so basically if you're wealthy and you want to come over here, if you're the fucking Prince of Israel or some shit.
Prince of Israel. Yeah, they have princes of Israel.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
It's all the same. It's fine.
Fucking Dubai. If you're the fucking Prince of Dubai and you want to come over here and fucking move on.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to be a citizen of the United States.
I'm pretty sure he just wants our cars.
Yeah. Just the BMWs anyway. Yeah.
That's fucking German cars, you fucking prick.
He's buying them over here because he can burn the money. Who gives a shit?
That's true.
Doesn't give a fuck. Probably has a factory in his fucking basement.
Oh my god. So like over in Dubai, completely off fucking topic conversation to have.
Which is every single conversation we have.
Yeah, that's true.
I can break this up into like 8 different podcasts.
Yeah. So fucking the amount of exotic cars, and by exotic cars, I'm talking Bugatti Veyrons, Lamborghinis, Gutentash, fucking Ferrari 450s.
The good shit.
You fucking name it. That shit is over there right now in Dubai, sitting in sand lots because they got repossessed. Because banks just hand the fuck. Banks are just throwing money to get that country to blow up, right? And people can't pay that shit. And so there are cars right now just sitting over there in junkyards that if you walked over there as an American citizen, there was a whole YouTube channel that I got hooked on for like 8 hours one morning fucking watching. And this guy would actually go over there to Dubai, pay like 100, maybe like 50 to 75,000, sometimes $100,000 plus shipping. And he would get that exotic car that cost upwards of a Bugatti Veyron, a $2 million car, shipped over here for like $100,000, and it was not his.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I do fucking know nuts. That they, I think it's either Dubai or the United Arab Emirates, where like their police forces drive fucking exotic ass cars and shit. That's just their normal fucking black and whites. And they have like they have drones that they use, like fucking space age shit. They're like, holy crap, how much money do you people have that you could just. We're going to give these cops fucking,
so,
you know.
Those cop cars are actually repossessed units that they refabbed for the police force to have because fucking people are driving fucking Lambos and you're not going to keep up with that shit in a fucking, you know, Crown Vic. Let's be honest.
I mean,
so they had to.
I kind of want to see that shit.
There's even certain parts of California that those boys are rolling around in fucking upgraded shit. Usually it's very specific officers and special units and shit like that, but
yeah.
I've seen fucking Ferrari, Lambo, Corvette, fucking cop cars.
Oh, I'd love
here
to
in
see
the U.S.
I'd love to see a fucking the Stingray, the new Corvette as a cop car. That'd be pretty badass.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty badass. That kind of puts a smile on my face. Now I want to be a cop just to see if I could drive that. Just that's what I want to do. I want to put my life on the line. of that car.
Well, we appreciate your application.
Well, you're an African American, so nope.
Well, I appreciate your application there, Christian Ballard, is it? Officer Ballard. But Carl over here has done an exemplary job of parking meters lately, and so we're going to upgrade him. Are you still there? Hello. Hello.
Well, hello. Apparently the German Shepherd barks can ruin a connection. And it's like, I picked up the phone and I looked at it, it says trying to reconnect. And then it was like, nope, you're done recording now. Bye.
Yeah, I believe my last sentence was, Officer Ballard, is it? Yes.
No, I heard all that.
We appreciate your application, but Carl over here has done a fantastic job with the parking meters, and we're going to upgrade him.
Wait, am I going to be Ethan Hawke in Training Day? Is that what this is?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, thanks. I finally got to see that movie, like, from the beginning to the end. I was like, damn, this is badass. My nigga. Ah!
Nice.
Oh, I love that shit. That movie was so good. So goddamn good.
I think my favorite, bar none fucking favorite, black guy as a cop movie has probably
Tracy Morgan.
Bad Boys. Or Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, really? You're gonna go with? Okay. Yeah, Eddie Murphy was great in those movies, and yeah, of course, Will Smith and Martin. Okay, is it Will or is it Martin that you're?
Honestly, I gotta go with Martin. I gotta go with Martin Lawrence.
I knew you would, you crazy fuck.
I fucking knew. Quality time. He all get my quality time with my wife.
My vote is for Tracy Morgan in that terrible Kevin Smith. Oh, as it was at the time, a terrible movie. Apparently, Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, with Kevin Smith directing. God, I love that movie.
Never saw it.
It's such a good movie. I guess it's bad for some people. I thought it was hilarious. Apparently, Bruce Willis thought it was the worst thing he's ever done.
Apparently, fucking Kevin Smith and Bruce Willis actually had quite the feud going on for a little while.
Yeah, because of that movie.
I just watched Kevin Smith's new stand-up here, I don't know, probably 2-3 months ago. I bought it off of Xbox. And he actually talked about how out of fucking nowhere, Bruce Willis called him up and just wanted to bullshit, just say hi. But it was the way he called Kevin apparently was very much in like that, the whole nine yards, like fucking Jimmy the Tulip Tedeschi. And it was just very like, I'm coming to fucking kill you right now kind of thing.
Oh, shit. So
it was interesting.
Like I heard something about that because I was watching Kevin talk do like radio shows or some shit. He's talking about that. He's like, yeah, it's apparently because that movie, he hated working on that film. He just hated it. Like he phoned in the entire thing. Like I could feel it. It was just too obvious. Everyone around kind of knew he was just phoning in this thing. And he's like, and Bruce will say it's one of the worst experiences he's ever had acting. It's like, oh shit.
Must have been pretty bad.
I mean, I didn't even know any of that when I saw the movie, and I didn't even know another, like, what, I don't know, decade later, but the movie, I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny to me. Got Tracy Morgan punching kids in the dick.
Okay, now I have to see it.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Now I have to see it.
It's called Cop Out.
Okay.
It's pretty funny.
Is it on the old Netflix box, or where can I find
it? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You want to hear something that's fucking sad?
Well, besides our conversations usually, sure.
So, I'm sure you're very well familiar with this movie, another Kevin Smith classic, Dogma.
Oh, yes, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Do you know that unless you currently own that thing on DVD, you can't buy it on DVD or stream it anywhere?
Wait, what? Really?
Really.
That is sad.
Do you know why?
Hopefully it's not because of Kevin. I'm assuming it's because of the religious right.
No. Well, yes and no. So apparently, Kevin was in a bad spot one year and to the movie to some Weinstein asshole, one of those fucking people.
Oh, was it to Harvey?
Yeah.
Oh.
Apparently, Harvey was going to fucking try and update it and fucking blew.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yep, so Harvey was going to want to update the movie.
Okay, so Harvey was going to want to fucking update the movie in 4K HD, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then he got in that whole, he just had to touch every actress in fucking Hollywood thing.
Oh.
And now apparently, this is all just shit I read online, so I don't know, maybe it's not true or not, but apparently he's essentially trying to kill off the movie because he doesn't want to piss off the ultra-conservative Christian denomination.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so unless you currently own it, which I do, fucker. You ain't gonna see that shit.
Fucker. Yeah, that's some bullshit right there.
Yeah.
Because that movie's fantastic.
I have yet to watch a single Kevin Smith movie and not be just fucking amazed by it.
I have one movie that will probably break that streak.
Okay, what's that?
Tusk.
No, I've watched it. I thought it was pretty good.
You watched it? Okay, good. I also thought it was pretty good, but usually I get mixed reactions when I tell people about that movie.
I also watched Human Centipede, so...
fair enough. Did you see... I didn't see Yoga Hosers, but did you see Yoga Hosers?
I saw Yoga Hosers, and I laughed my ass off.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it is every bit as fucking stupid as Thanksgiving and just as funny.
That's delightful, actually. That's just
fantastic. And it made me even more fantastically enthusiastic about it because his daughter Harley was in it.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. Like, I'm sitting there like, dude, how are you as a parent letting your daughter do this? Because there was a scene in the movie before the fucking evil wiener snitz us. Das wiener snitz us! Fucking... Before they show up, these fucking two whack job white boys, you know, are supposed to be the super popular kids, are going to come back to this place, the fucking, you know, gas station, if you will, after dark, and have a party with these girls. And the girls are like, yeah, so I thought more people were coming. And they're like, oh, no, that's just going to be us. And the girls are totally stoked by it because the super popular kids are going to hang out with them. And the one chick is going to, you know, fucking whore it up. But these two dudes, you know, like Satan worshipers, and they're coming to sacrifice these two white girls. Unbeknownst to them.
Like you do.
Yeah. And this is horrible PR for white people.
Yeah, because you guys have such a good record.
Yeah. But, don't start being pissy. You're fine.
There's a mad baby.
Yep, he's cranky.
Dad is talking about that terrible movie again.
Yeah, but anyway, so like these fucking dudes are gonna hack up his daughter and fucking whatever else, and then all of a sudden, this fucking wiener bursts into his ass and kills him from the rear. And...
what the fuck?
Yeah, it's something.
Oh man, that is some wow.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few dark twists.
Very nice. Very nice. Got wieners busting people in the ass.
Yeah.
For some people, that's just called Tuesdays.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like ripping off his shirt, doing some homage to aliens. It's inside me!
Hey, look, it's more dogs barking at me. Any hoozles.
Yep.
That's fucking funny. Oh, man, it is getting late. I'm still not home yet. I've just been walking. I'm surprised I haven't been shot.
Yeah.
I don't have my hood up, so that's the good thing. Nor am I in Florida. So yeah. That helps.
Fucking Florida news. That's some scary shit all around. That's where basalt started. What does that tell you about that place?
Dude, I mean, Florida's on a whole...
So I watched this shit on YouTube, the Bad News Network.
Huh? It's all about Florida?
No, I've sent you a few clips from them, actually. I don't know if you've actually watched them or not, but
So it's directed by this guy, Nick Palmisano. It's of the Ranger Up movement, fucking Matt Best, all those dudes, fucking veterans, right? And okay. So they're taking all this bullshit that's pumped down fucking media's throat and then giving their perspective on it. Or at least as a non-biased way, but in a very comical fucking way. And every fucking episode, there is a, and in Florida Man news, there's always some fuckbag in Florida that's doing something stupid. Like the latest one was this man who is 23 years old that every day of his life he has eaten nothing but macaroni and cheese.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like 150 like, pounds?
Like 400 and some fucking pounds.
Yeah.
I think the picture was him sitting in a upright pool.
On the toilet?
No, an upright. It was in a fucking above ground pool of nacho cheese.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just, man. I'm trying to go to sleep soon. I'm trying to go to bed soon, man. Don't do that to me. Just don't do that to me. But yeah, Florida. I mean, it's gonna be underwater eventually if we don't figure out the whole global warming thing anyway. So,
all right, I'll have to resume this in a minute. I got a diaper to change.
All right, you enjoy that diaper.
Uh huh. Now, if I had actually met people for a walk, for the
next 2 hours. I was gonna say just before you fucking say what you have to say, the goddamn thing cuts out. Mother, goddamn it, damn it.
No, so I was watching this documentary, and
okay.
I think I'm actually gonna try vegan.
Whoa! That you actually got me stuck, and I can hear myself. Is my phone? Am I on speaker?
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear myself. You're gonna try what?
You heard me.
But bacon, Jerry.
I know.
Okay, so you realize I just read recently that there's a study that most people that go vegan go right back to eating meat anyway.
Correct. Correct.
And I'm assuming that's mostly because of they don't have a medical issue in which they can't eat these things.
So this documentary that I watched, the fuck was it called? New Changes or some shit like that on fucking Netflix recently. Okay. Just came. Schwarzenegger's back in it. A all vegan power lifters back in it. Vegan UFC fighters are back in it. Vegan bodybuilders are back in it. Anyway, so
bacon.
The thing that caught my attention was. Is number one, good, bad, or indifferent, an all vegan or all vegetable based diet is the only thing that's proven to reverse cardiovascular issues. One. But the interesting part behind it was they actually took athletes, like people in their prime. They've used the fucking Miami Dolphins and the Titans, like defensive line receivers and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, great teams.
They're still athletes at the end of the fucking day.
I know.
They're in far better shape than you were hiring.
Yeah.
Okay. So then shut the fuck up.
No. We wouldn't have a podcast if we could shut the fuck up.
True story. Anyway, so they took these individuals in several different tests, and they gave them a different meal per day, and they tested their blood 3 hours after said meal. One meal, obviously, was a meat diet. And then the next meal was a plant diet. And then they refined it down to separate the plasma from the red blood cells and all that shit, right?
Okay.
And on the meat meal, the plasma at the top was pretty thick and cloudy, like it looked like a puppet mixture of cum and piss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the plant-based diet, or on the plant meal, just 3 hours after they ate that plant meal, the plasma at the top, it looked like fucking canola oil. It looked like olive oil. Like it was that clear and thin, like fucking motor oil.
Huh.
And so it actually can improve like different, the ectophilia, I'm not pronouncing it right, but anyway, the elastic walls that are inside of your veins,
Your muscles can repair and heal themselves better. You're
Eat
gone.
Salads. Okay, oh, good. There you are.
Now, so anyway, the moral of the story is like, if you fucking go vegan for a period of time, like apparently the transition from good to bad is like around the 3 to 4 year mark, somewhere in there. It's another Civic.
I think that's the same exact person too. I think they're just doing laps.
Nope, that's a different car.
It's ridiculous.
I can tell by the sound that was a different car. He had less balls than the first guy. The first guy had a bigger
car. It looked like it damn near looked like the same car too. That's the sad thing. The sound is definitely correct. Different cars, but it looked the same fucking model and everything.
Yeah. But anyway, so apparently around like the 3 to 5 mark, 3 to 5 year mark, your body actually starts to reject the process because you are actually starting to create meat.
Wait a minute. How long have you been going vegan?
I haven't been yet.
Okay.
The wife and I have actually been doing a keto diet, which is nothing but fucking meat. She's actually lost a good amount of weight. I've lost like 30 pounds. She's lost like 30 pounds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm going to the gym like 3 times a week. She's going a lot more than that because she's doing marathon shit. But,
that's cool.
Yeah.